This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I'm the Phelps part of that, and he's the Baskin part of that. Your Guardians, Andy, aren't going away.
On fire.
You know, you remember how we all kind of thought when the season started, it's like, no, we don't see how they're really going to score any runs, and I thought the rotation was a little shaky. But we all thought, but in this division, there's no reason they can't really compete. We think there's a chance, but I think we all had tempered expectations. Is that fair to say?
Yep. Only the Braves have more runs than the Guardians do right now. It's only by one. Guardians have 124. Braves have 125. They are tied with the Dodgers at 124.
Well, the Guardians have played two more games, Andy.
Oh, so I take that back. Diamondbacks have 131.
Oh, well, way to go. Well, let's nullify the whole thing then.
Okay, it's still top five.
It's 22 games, but they're 16-6, and right now, your Cleveland Guardians have the best record in baseball. They're not just in first place in the division. They don't just have the best record in the American League. They have the best record in baseball right now.
Okay.
Does that surprise anybody? Well, let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Anthony Castrovince is one of the premier baseball writers in the country. Andy and I are proud to say we knew him when he was just breaking into the biz.
Just a pup.
He's gone on to great things, and we're happy to have him on the show. Hi, Anthony.
Hello. I had the Guardians number one in the power rankings at the start of the season, in case anybody wondered.
I thought you did.
Yeah, I was a believer.
Like I said, it's 422, not 420.
So
look at it, like, this is like I just looked this up. This is the statistical equivalent of the Browns starting 2-0, which hasn't happened in quite some time. So
it's funny you say that, because you're gonna like this, Anthony. This is up your alley. Coming up in our next segment, we are doing our 13.5% awards. 13.5% into the season. What are our awards for the Guardians? That's coming up.
Yeah.
The coveted 13.5%.
When you watch this,
it's technically 2.5-0. By the way, not quite. It's actually even better than 2.
Ooh, it's almost 3 wins. Wow,
that's pretty good. Yeah. 16-6. What have you seen that makes you think that's legit, rather than that's early?
I mean, it's early, you know. So I really come down on that, but I do think that the thing that's really encouraging about it is how it's kind of coming from all over the place, as opposed to like a couple dudes on some, you know, crazy heater that's unsustainable. It's been done with Jose Ramirez being, you know, sub average. So that's encouraging, because you would expect him to, you know, have a Jose Ramirez type of season. So that's what's good about it. It's kind of been spread around where, you know, different heroes on different days, you know, little flashes of brilliance here and there. Esteban Florial, you know, goes deep one day, and Will Brennan goes deep the next day, that kind of thing. You know, Naylor, his start might be unsustainable, but I do think he's a really good player and a really important piece for them in terms of just, you know, what he brings to the table with his energy every day. I don't know if he'll, you know, maintain this level of production It would be great to see, though. He had a great year last year, so you don't put it past him to have another great year this year. But so I just think it's that overall complexion of the offense where it's coming from a lot of different spots, and the mentality has obviously changed with that group where, you know, they're willing to take on a little more swing and miss to generate some more positive offensive outcomes. So that's been good to see.
Yeah, I think it's also been interesting to see how they've been able to do it with a banged up starting rotation and a bullpen that's coming through night in and night out.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing is you would have had anticipated for them to get off to this kind of start that the rotation, which was once again viewed as the strength of the team, would have been clicking on all cylinders. And that obviously has not been the case. They lose their ace right away. You know, Tristan McKenzie has not been what we hoped he would be, you know, coming off of injury. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of that could be viewed, I guess, as a positive, too, is, you know, maybe that group will round into shape over time. They're not going to get Bieber back, of course, but maybe that could still emerge as a team strength when Gavin Williams comes back and just as guys settle into the season.
All right, we're talking about players. Anthony Castrovince joining us from MLB.com. I think Stephen Vogt has done a really nice job in handling this roster that is not a roster that appears to me to be like fabulous. And he seems to be milking it for all it's worth right now, Anthony.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's really, it's hard to pull off because, you know, there's guys you're trying to learn about. There's a lot of versatility on the roster, which is a good thing, but also a difficult thing to manage to where, you know, do you ride the hot hand? You know, your guy has a particularly good game. Do you then start him the next day, even though that wouldn't necessarily normally be, you know, the optimal matchup situation with that day's pitcher or whatever, you know, or maybe it's somebody else's optimal matchup, who knows, but it's really hard to juggle all that when you just don't have, they don't have nine regulars that they can run out there every day that you feel good about. This is our lineup every day. They just don't have that. So you are juggling a lot of moving pieces, and I think he's been really good about that so far. I mean, it obviously shows in the results where he's been, you know, it would certainly lead you to believe he's been playing the right guys at the right time. That's a tough trick to pull off over 162, but, and they still have more coming, you know, they still have more depth. That's why I think last time we talked, I told you guys, I felt better about their position player group. Not just what you see in the big leagues, but just their general position player depth this year versus last, it just is stronger. And so far, you know, obviously the position player group's been a strength for them.
Are you a believer though? And if you're not 100% a believer, what's it going to take to be a believer?
About 120 games.
We say it all the time, but it doesn't take much to be a believer in this division. It just doesn't. It's a low bar for believability. So, you know, this is not crazy. I mean, it's crazy they have the best record in baseball, but it's not crazy they're on top of the AL Central. That's something that, you know, we felt really good about this team a year ago, and it's a year ago at this time, not at the end of last season, but the beginning of last season. And this group is not crazy different from that group. It's just not. It's very similar. And again, with some added position player upside looming down on the farm. So it's not crazy that they could, you know, sustain a level performance that keeps them at or near the top of the AL Central. That's not lunacy at all. Best record in baseball, best run differential in the league. I mean, that's not going to last, but you give them credit because, yeah, they've beaten up on some bad teams, but that's what good teams have to do. So they've taken care of that part of the equation.
Anthony Castrovince joining us from MLB.com. Tristan McKenzie came out and said, I've been pitching with a torn UCL and trying to make that go. You're all over everybody in Major League Baseball. How difficult is it to have that as your plan and avoid Tommy John surgery and pitch effectively?
I mean, it's difficult. Yeah, it's been done, you know, but it's definitely difficult. And, you know, it's something where it shows, you know, the stuff is just not the same. I think about Masahiro Tanaka with the Yankees some years ago. You know, he had a situation like this and was able to pitch on it for, you know, longer than you would expect. And at a pretty good level, but you know, those are exceptions more than the rule. So, you know, I feel bad for him. He went through it last year, and, you know, I'm sure he got a lot of opinions on from a lot of different people on, you know, the best way to manage this thing. And ultimately it was chosen to go, you know, the rest and rehab route. But it doesn't always work out so well. So, you know, he was pretty effective the other night against the A's, and maybe that's what it has to look like, is kind of a five and fly type of situation, which is not ideal, but if he can be effective with it, he can make it work. But it's just tough because, you know, the stuff is suboptimal, you know, from a velocity standpoint. And he's not a guy who goes out and overpowers people anyway, but that's the thing. It's like, and you lose even more velo than what you had. So, it's going to take a lot of wily pitching, you know, a lot of just good, approaches, you know, good game planning against opponents, that sort of thing. But I would also worry about him just because mentally, you know, if that's in the back of your mind at all times that you have this situation, you know, is that going to affect your confidence level out there? It would be in my head, you know. I don't know how it wouldn't be. That's your livelihood. So, I just feel bad for him.
Anthony, is there a guy on this team that you, like, is doing what you didn't expect them to do? Like, you were kind of looking at, I don't know. Even, you know what, I might even say Steven Vogt to me, just because he's been willing to shuffle the lineup a little bit if he sees guys are struggling, or if the Tyler Freeman experiment isn't going to work in center field, you know, like, it's something that has surprised you other than run production and being in first place, being one of the best teams in baseball. Like, something's jumped off the page to you. You've watched enough, so I'm curious.
Probably the biggest surprise. I mean, it's not a surprise in that this is what happens in baseball a lot, but Hunter Gaddis, you know, what he's meant to the bullpen. This happens all the time where some guy who, I don't want to say failed starter, but, you know, some guy who didn't impress much as a starter, and then he goes in the bullpen and all of a sudden he's this huge dominating force. You know, I didn't circle Hunter Gaddis for that at the beginning of the year, but these things do happen in the bullpen world. That's why it's so hard to project and predict. But that's obviously been a hugely pleasant surprise, you know, what he's meant to the back end of the bullpen. I'd say Stephen Kwan, like, I really like Stephen Kwan as a player, like, great defender and, you know, great hit tool. He's you know, disciplined and all that. And he went into the season talking about, you know, just swinging more.
Not
I didn't
being
know
scared
how that
to
would...
strike out, right?
Yeah,
that was the
yeah,
big line.
Yeah, I didn't know how that would go. And even with that approach, like, okay, how much power is in there? You see him, his frame, you know, he's my size or smaller. So it's like, you know, I don't know how much is in there, but give him credit. It's been working brilliantly. You know, he's been terrific, and he's got, you know, a couple home runs, a handful of doubles already. So that's, yeah, I would say that's been a nice surprise too.
Anthony, you mentioned Hunter Gaddis. Let's take it a step further. This bullpen's been really good with a lot of new names in it. And bullpens get rebuilt all the time. You know, every year you never know what's going to happen. But I think it's an interesting trait that this front office has in really being able to produce pretty good bullpens year in, year out. Is there anything behind that? Or I can't imagine they're just getting lucky because they pull it off all the time.
Yeah, they've had a pretty good track record there, and it comes with, you know, identifying, you know, the right pitch mix for guys. I mean, it's a more limited repertoire, generally speaking, in the bullpen. They've done a good job at identifying guys' strengths and playing that up in the bullpen, and they survived some blows there. I mean, you know, they're without Trevor Stephan, and that's, you know, he's a key piece of this bullpen. So for that to be a team strength this year is a real positive. And but this is what happens, you know, guys like Hunter Gaddis and Tim Herron and Cade Smith, you know, guys that nobody was talking about a month ago, you know, step into prominent roles. That happens all the time in the relief world.
Okay. It's like the Browns being 2.5-0. Here we go. I appreciate that stat. Thank you.
2.5. Okay.
This town would set itself on fire for the Browns to go 2.5-0. So be excited about the Guardians. Don't poo-poo it, and don't wait for the wheels to come off. Just celebrate it as if the Browns were 2.5-0. Treat it just as you would that.
We're going to next. Anthony, thank you for setting that up for us. We appreciate it.
All right.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com, does terrific work covering Major League Baseball. Cleveland guy joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He said celebrate it, Andy. Celebrate it. So we will. are 13.5% of the season awards.
Oh.
Next on Baskin and Phelps.
Do I have to get dressed up?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Do the math, folks. Your Cleveland Guardians, not only in first place, they're in first place, Sandy, 13.5% of the way through the season.
It is great to be here on the red carpet for another award show, man. I am so excited to be here. Dan, you look really good. That's a nice-looking bow tie. I've never seen one like that before, but okay, all right.
Best record in baseball after 13.5% of the season.
Thank you, Andy. I got it from Ames.
As Anthony Castrovin said, that's like the Browns being 2.5-0.
I got my tie at the gas station I bought my Eclipse t-shirt from.
So I thought this would be a phenomenal time, Andy. Let's take advantage of the Guardians being in first place in the division.
So excited.
Best record in the American League.
Such
best
a big
record
deal.
In Major League Baseball by handing out our 13.5% awards.
And everyone follows along on this. I was like,
well,
you
sure.
were the buzz on social media yesterday, Jeff. People were like, hey, are they going to do the 13.5% awards today? And I was like, of course they are.
Are you kidding? Of course. There are odds on who's going to win these things.
You are the Mr. Blackwell of 13.
I don't think there's any question. 13.5%? I don't think there's any question. Our 13, let's start with this. Let's start with the biggie and get it out. Or should we start with the littler awards? You tell me, Andy.
They're your awards, Jeff. I cannot.
Anna, what do you think? You
we're just here to judge you.
If the Oscars have taught us anything, you start with a biggie to hook them.
All right, let's start with the biggie. The Guardians, most valuable player.
Oh, I thought you were going to do like
13.5% of the season is. You ready?
Yeah, I thought you were going to do best see-through pants. Go ahead. Yes, sorry.
Josh Naylor.
Oh, no way.
Well, he had some competition. I mean, Stephen Kwan is hitting .358. Okay, there was some competition, but we have to go with Josh Naylor because Josh has 6 home runs. He has 20 runs batted in. That's 13.5% of the way through the season. You want to do the math? Those are huge numbers.
He's also almost 20 at-bats behind Stephen Kwan.
So those are huge numbers, and he's hitting .325. So, you want to multiply that over the course of the season. Josh is well over, 40 home runs, 100 whatever runs batted in. He's tearing it up. And, Andy, I think that's a really good thing because this team needs that kind of productivity out of somebody, and it might as well be Josh because he's probably the most likely to give it to you other than Jose Ramirez.
Have these awards been certified by any accounting firm? I just want you to...
Yes.
I mean, Josh Naylor was excited enough, he just hit himself in the head with the bat again.
Oh, all right, well, that's fair enough. All right. Stars. Little birds.
I just don't have them like sealed or anything.
Well, I can't see, so
is that
I wouldn't
okay?
have known. No, that's all right.
All right.
Certified by, should I even say it? It's such a dad joke. Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. That's right.
Nice. That's nice. We're gonna go off the beaten path here. Our next award, the good for you after 13.5% of the season award. It goes to the good for you after 13.5% of the season. Gabe Arias. Hey, you're not going to be the starting shortstop. We're going to give it to this Rokio kid. You just sit over there and be ready. You know, we might call on you from time to time to do a couple of things. Andy, he's been hot. He's hitting .298. He's playing all over the place. He's doing a good job. And I think he's put himself back in the thought process for this season a little bit. It's like, you know what? Maybe he's not going to wash out. After 13.5%, he's the man.
How do you really feel about outfield, Gabe? What do you think?
Oh. Well, Andy, we're going to get to that.
Oh, that is that an award too?
Kind of an award, maybe.
Wow.
Maybe.
What was the name of that last award? I forgot about it.
That was the Good For You.
Good For You award.
After 13.5% of the season. Mm-hmm. Our starting pitcher of the first 13.5% of the season award. Let's see. It can't be Shane Bieber.
No.
Not Gavin Williams. Who could it be? Who could it be? How about Logan Allen? One main reason for this.
He's pitched the most innings?
That's exactly it.
Oh, I was guessing.
No, that's exactly it. There's no Gavin Williams. There's no Shane Bieber. There's a torn UCL in Tristan McKenzie's right elbow. And Logan Allen has thrown 26.2 innings. So 26 and two-thirds. Thank you. He's also 3-0. His ERA is over 5. No big deal. Not with this offense. He's 3-0. 26 and two-thirds innings. So good for Logan Allen. You're our starting pitcher of the first 13.5% of the season. We'll turn to the bullpen.
Congratulations.
Let's turn to the bullpen. Our reliever of the first 13.5% of the season, Andy, his name has come up already today. Hunter Gaddis.
Hunter Gaddis, yes!
Who, by the way, looks like he's slimmed down a little bit, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Doesn't he look like he's slimmed down?
I mean, or else my TV is doing more vertical.
He's a large dude.
Yeah.
I mean, but so far, Hunter Gaddis has been not just stellar, he's been double stellar. Did you know there was such a thing as double stellar?
Yeah, it's right up there with double secret probation.
He's pitched 10 and two-thirds innings. In those 10 and two-thirds innings, he has struck out 15 batters and has not allowed an earned run. For that, Hunter Gaddis, you get the reliever of the first 13.5%
Were you contemplating anybody else? Kate Smith there for a little bit.
There are other guys who I think are actually worthy of this.
I was Kate Smith.
It's clear in a way it's Hunter Gaddis's thing, but I got to give Smith some credit. I think he's been really good. You know, guys are hitting 195 against him this year. Can I tell you Tim Herron's been even better? 086 opponents batting average against Tim Herron. Again, Chris Antonetti, Mike Chernoff have put together a bullpen that seems to be doing the job so far, and I think that's really good. Guys are hitting 139 against Nick Sandlin. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
And Tyler Beattie's been okay. You know, Tyler, welcome back to the States. You've been doing great. Guys are hitting 222 against him. And Scott Barlow, I don't think, has gotten quite untracked yet. He's still been okay. And again, Eli Morgan's out. You don't have Stephen. Eli's out with injury. And yet the bullpen's been really good. Yeah, so I give them all a lot of credit for that.
Beattie, BB, Bieber.
That was not well planned.
No, it wasn't.
I don't know who came up with that.
Who is naming these kids?
I'm not sure. We move along. After 13.5% of the season, our So Far, So Good award.
Oh, this is an actual award?
Well, of course it is. They all are.
So Far, So Good. Okay.
Goes to the outfield.
Oh, congratulations.
The Guardians have the best record in baseball. Best in the American League, best in the division, despite only one outfielder hitting higher than 235.
So you're saying that's a thing, huh?
Well, what I'm saying is they've dodged that bullet so far. I'm not sure how, but they have. They're scoring runs like crazy, and the only outfielder hitting higher than 235 is Stephen Kwan, who, of course, has been just stellar. The 235 guy, Andy, is Esteban Florial, who's warmed up. I like the way he swings the bat, and I keep thinking, please get hot. Please get really hot.
He's only had 34 swings, please or 34
keep,
at-bats.
Please so. Keep going, because I wonder if he can't be one of those guys. That said, Will Brennan's been spunky. Mannequin laughs. I'm not going to say he's been great, but he's been spunky, don't you think?
He's got 9 RBI. I mean, he's driving in runs. So
Tyler Freeman has 11. Who knew?
Who knew that was going to happen?
Tyler's hitting 217. So it's, you know, again, I don't think it's going to last that the combination of the outfield performing poorly offensively and the offense performing well is going to last. To me, that combination doesn't jive. So the outfield's going to have to pick it up, or somebody else is going to have to.
Have to what?
Get replaced. Which brings us to our next award.
Oh, no.
Yep. After 13.5% of the season, we hope your renting award goes to Ramon Laureano. He has 45 at-bats. He has two runs batted in, and he's hitting 178. First move to be made is going to be Ramon Laureano.
I don't know.
I know. He's Stephen Vogt's buddy.
There's no way. I don't think he's going anywhere. He'll be around.
If I was hitting 178, you'd get rid of me.
Well, I'd get rid of you. Even if you were hitting 200, I would get rid of you. You'd be gone.
What if I was hitting 330?
I mean, but where else are we going to get quality entertainment like these awards that you've come up with after 13.5%?
The trophies are being made.
Oh, good.
They weren't ready yet. You know why?
Cracker Jack quit making trophies? I don't know.
Too early.
Oh, it's too early.
Don't you think Laureano could be the guy?
Should be the guy? Possibly, yeah, if they were looking to make a roster. I just don't think they're going to be in a big hurry to...
John Kenzie Noel's hitting 300 in AAA. Just throwing that out.
Somebody we've talked about had a couple home runs over the weekend.
Just throwing that out there. That somebody might be hitting a little bit too.
Yeah.
Our final award. After
it's over so soon.
After 13.5% of the season.
Dan, are you going to the after party?
I don't know. If it's as much fun as this, I don't know if I can handle it.
It's true.
It's our final award. It's the Mr. Congeniality Award. After 13.5% of the season, the guy who's making everybody happy, he's smiling at everybody. Stephen Vogt. Stephen Vogt, Mr. Congeniality. You know why, Andy?
Because he's got these guys off to a good start.
Nope, that's not it.
They're aggressive.
Nope, that's not it.
He's doing pretty good in his interviews.
That's not it.
The fact that they've had a great draw for the schedule in the beginning of the year has really been
helpful. That's not it.
I don't know what.
It's this. They've played 22 games. Every position player, other than Austin Hedges, has played at least 13 games. That goes back to what I mentioned at Castrovitz. He's done a really nice job of juggling what I don't think is a really good roster. And he's been getting a lot out of it. And by doing so, I think he's keeping everybody happy. I think everybody's pleased. They're all getting a chance to play. That means they're getting an opportunity to go out and contribute. And it also keeps the guys, Andy, I would think, a little sharp who might be labeled as starters, but all of a sudden you're not in there because here comes Gabe Arias. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes you a player's manager.
Considering
you just played 2 years ago, sure.
And though you're giving the guys time off and you're giving everybody a chance, you're also showing the guys, hey, we're not afraid to play the hot bat. We're going to play that guy. You're going to sit. You know what? If he stays hot, you might not be in there.
I'm good with that.
You think?
I'm absolutely good with that. I agree. I think Stephen Vogt's done a really, really nice job.
I do, too.
Every day is a new challenge for him because it's all new.
Andy Baskin, concludes our 13.5% of the season awards.
Great job, Jeff. I'm really proud of you for being able to doing that and getting the accounting firm and getting the trophies made. There are no trophies. There was no accounting.
They're being made. But
I guess when your budget.
When I put the order in, they went, are you kidding? They're only 13.5% of the way through the season. You're giving awards?
I see at the after party, too, by the way, Dan.
You're giving awards? We are. What do you think of the awards? And what do you think of this team after 13.5% of the season? Next on Baskin and Phelps.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
The cleaning crew is doing a great job here cleaning up the theater after our great big awards presentation. You know, we ask people not to drop stuff, you know, under their seats, but you still get the water bottles and everything else.
It's always the popcorn.
I know. But we just gave away our first 13.5% of the season awards for the Guardians. And
Very positive, Jeff. I thought it was
Dano, they seem to be a big hit. Up there on the X, we got some reaction.
Yeah, our X match is powered by Shabbat Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. And you can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads, like Martin does here. Jeff, FYI, according to his math, it's more like 13.6% of the way through the season.
Oh. Maybe I looked at the calculator a little too quickly.
Why don't you check out your calculator while I tell you this? Jonathan Peterlin will host our playoff postgame shows against Orlando tonight, and our entire station gearing up for the NFL draft. Download the Odyssey app today and listen to our coverage on your smart speakers or wherever you are.
Okay. 13.6. Well, I thought, good for them. They have the best record in baseball. Jim's in Strongsville. Jim.
James. How are you?
I love you guys. Jeff, your negativity around this team is grinding on me. Every time you say something nice about the Guardians, it's always a backhanded slap at them, like, well, you know, if, or why shouldn't it? You're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Please just be happy. And then today, like, you're just mocking them.
Oh, Jim, that wasn't mocking at all. It was actually praising them.
Again,
maybe your name, maybe your head is in a negative spot, but we were singing their praises.
That we were praising them. We're like, man, I wish the season could be over after 13 points.
I guess I'm just jaded by listening to. But listen,
they're doing a great job with a team that I don't think is that good, and that means maybe that team's actually really pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I agree with that they're not that good. I mean,
well, exactly. That's the point. They're showing everybody that they're playing pretty good baseball right now.
I mean, they paid some of these guys, and they had off years last year. It's not that big a stretch. Look, your best player isn't even playing that well right now. Jose Ramirez hasn't gotten it going
yet. Jim, don't be negative.
That's positive.
No, actually, yeah, you're being kind of negative about him.
You're picking on Jose, Jim.
Yeah, what's up, man?
See, we're not allowed to make realistic comments, but you are? Come on, man.
Now you're red-penning me.
Oh, brother.
I feel your pain.
Thanks, brother.
Jim, that was good. Andy, what color is this pen?
I don't have my glasses on, so it must be red.
It's blue. Hey, Jim, in all seriousness, team's doing a really nice job, and Steven Vogt's making it work so far, right?
I'm just happy. I love it. I can't watch him, but I'm happy. Bally's wants me to pay for a premium membership. I'm like, what? I don't understand. Don't get me started.
It'll all be better when everything's back on over the air for free.
I'll tell you what.
Everyone's running out getting an antenna.
Jim, just listen to us and leave your negative thought out, because Andy and I have been nothing but positive
today.
If I listen to you, I'm going to end up jumping off a cliff. Come on.
Goodbye.
We don't have a lot of cliffs here, so we're okay.
No.
We're in California. Okay. Moving right along.
Have we been negative about the Guardians?
I didn't think we were negative.
I think we've been nothing but positive about these guys.
I mean, I rarely do this. Hody, have we been negative about the Guardians? I thought we've been pretty positive.
I don't think so at all.
Okay. My biggest concern with the Guardians is I just want to see a bigger sample size against some other teams. They have no control over who they've been playing, so I want to see them play a couple other teams, and let's see what the numbers look like then. And then also, I mean,
they're not going to Andy, I will guarantee you, okay? They will not have the best record in baseball. That's not going to last. But guess what?
You know what? If
it doesn't have to.
No, they don't. They're in the Central.
They have to have the best record in the Central. That's all they have to have. And what I've seen so far makes me think that they have a chance to do that. Really does. Dan's in Shaker Heights. Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good.
Hey, question for you, because I was at the game yesterday, and I'm going tomorrow as well. And I know that Willie B's batting average isn't quite where you'd want it to be, but it just seems like he keeps coming up in big spots. And my question for you guys, and then I'll hang up and hear your answer off the air, is he making it really difficult to, when they bring up DeLauder and some of these guys, is he making a pretty good case for him to be not the guy that they send down?
Dan, that's an interesting question. And I would think yes. If you happen to hear our first 13.5% of the season awards, I think that guy's going to be Ramon Laureano. And Andy disagrees, and Andy's point might be real valid. And it's because he has A, he's a veteran who does have a track record, and right. he has a history with Stephen Vogt. Those, you can't hide those two facts. But I think Brennan has quietly kind of started to establish himself as a more than competent major league outfielder.
And
I wonder if he's capable of more. I just wonder about that. I don't think he'll be the guy who gets sent out.
And Manzardo got hot this weekend. Jeff and I were talking about. I mean,
Manzardo's not playing out.
Three homers this week. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I just, you know, I watch the game and I look for intangibles, and maybe that's because I want to see the good in everything and everybody. But I watched the way that he rounded the bases yesterday after that home run, and it just seems like he's melded into this team guy and just fits the culture of fun, crazy baseball, like what Naylor does. And I don't know if maybe, you know, that's the chicken or the egg sort of thing. Has he become a product of how fun it is for these guys to hit dingers and round second, look into the dugout and do that like Mario jump that he does? But he's just so much fun. And when he's playing well and gets those hits in big time situations, I can't help but love the guy.
Dan, thank you very much. There's a thought that pro athletes have told me, Andy, in the past. And now take this the right way. If you've reached if you've reached the majors, if you've reached the NFL, if you've reached the NBA, the NHL, you're really good.
Okay? Yeah.
Anybody, like, you'll hear people yell, you know, you're a bum at somebody who's.
I laugh at that. Every time I know. That.
It's like these guys were the best guys all along. And if you're playing at the highest level of any of those sports, you're really good. However, I've had pro athletes tell me, and more than one have used this expression, he's just a guy. And to me, that means this. Okay, you're good enough to make the majors, but are you good enough to be a real impactful guy at whatever, you know, whatever sport you're playing? Right now, Dan, I think, and not you, Dan the caller, right now I think Will Brennan is just a guy. And my hope is he becomes more than just a guy. But keep this in mind. Most teams are made up with nothing but guys who are just a guy. I mean, there are 26 players on a Major League Baseball roster. Most of them are just guys.
Right.
Right? That are good enough to play in the major leagues. There's the caveat. You're good enough to play in the major leagues. Can you become more than that? Can you become what Josh Naylor was just a guy. When they got him from the Padres, he was a first-round pick. But, okay, well, can you show us what you can do? Well, yes, now I'm showing you what I can do, and I have for some time.
And I'm more than just a guy.
And he's more than just a guy.
Right.
And Jose Ramirez, when Jose came up, Jose's playing left field. He's playing second base. He's at short. He's at third. He was just a guy until he wasn't. And that's what I hope Will Brennan can become, more than just a guy.
Yeah, you have to make us notice you. I think that's the best.
Got
to
be impactful for your team.
I mean, every once in a while,
impactful.
You get a guy though, you know, is going to be the guy.
Yeah,
but I don't know that this team.
Is that fair? Just a guy?
Yeah,
because that's not an insult to anybody.
No, not look. If you made it, you're
a stud.
But the thing is, your entire life you've been more than just a guy.
Absolutely.
Now, if you can be more than just a guy at the pro level, that's a difference.
That's the creme de la creme. If you're able to pull that off. And my hope is that Brennan can do that. Right now, I think the outfield is full of guys who are just a guy, except for Stephen Kwan.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Florial can become a real player, you know, a guy who you... A guy.
I don't know if that's the right way to put it, though. He is a real player.
I was going to rephrase that this way. I want guys who you want to have in the lineup for 140 games. You know what I mean? It's like, this guy gives us a chance, and we're going to make sure he gets 140, 150 games. Well, Stephen Kwan will. Who else in the outfield will?
I can't tell you.
I can't either.
And
that's what I want.
And that guy might be sitting in Columbus right now.
Well, maybe.
Or in Akron.
But that won't happen this year for either one of those guys. You know, the one thing, I was going to create another award, but.
What was it?
Was going to be something along the lines of, hey, too bad for you because what's happened here at the majors has really, you know, taken the spotlight off you award.
Oh, that would have been negative.
Well, it might have been, but that's positive for the team, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, has anybody asked lately? And you and I both know because we pay attention. Tyler Manzardo is hitting 308. He got hot.
Yeah, this weekend.
He's playing well. Great.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, does it? Because the team is 16-6, and they're winning while he is doing what it is,
It's really hard not to keep your eye on him.
Excuse me, though. Whatever it is, the front office decided they want him to do at AAA, he's doing it. Well, the team is winning without him. Okay, well, that's a win-win all the way around, for some reason, I think. Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you need depth.
And that guy finally comes up, where are you going to play him?
You'll figure it out. If Tyler Freeman can play center field, you'll figure it out. Do you agree with what I'm saying? You've got to find, if somebody can hit, you've got to find a place for him.
And if you're deficient
in the outfield, in offense, you will find a place.
One of my favorite outfielders of all time, defensively, now talks a lot of Guardians baseball. Rick Manning, pull these guys aside. Pull Kyle Manzardo aside. Give him private outfield lessons and turn him into an outfielder. Because I want Josh Naylor at first base or DH. And I don't want Josh.
How hard is that
transition?
I mean, let's be honest. How hard is that transition?
I think it's difficult, Andy. I do. I do. If you're not like a natural athlete, like a shortstop, I think it can be challenging.
I don't. I think it's probably in all of sports.
And that's a lot of ground to cover out there, man. You just can't put somebody out there and wish them luck.
Yeah, but most of these guys, I mean, most of them aren't slow. And Manzardo's not exactly.
Well, no, that's true.
Manzardo doesn't look like your Boog Pauls of the world.
Well, I mean,
he's in pretty decent shape.
That's true. Angel Gray had to push back by 20 minutes.
Oh, she did.
So Angel, who works for ESPN, did sidelines on the Cavs Magic game. Our buddy is going to join us at 1:20. Game two tonight for the Cavaliers. Can they repeat game one? And I don't mean a win. I mean formula. And do they have to? Andy and I have thoughts on that next.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.